Word. So, the Word of God. We were in Hebrews, and I'll read the passage once more, and then I'll give you some exciting stories of what we've seen in the ministry. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So, I got saved through the Word of God. It had pierced even to the division of my soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow. The Word of God that night I got saved was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. Before the Word of God, I realized that night I was not hidden from God's sight, but I was guilty as a sinner. And I felt naked and open to the eyes of God, to whom I would have to give account for all my sins. And if you're not saved, the only way to give account for your sins is to suffer for your sins forever. If you're standing before God, it's too late. You have to get saved now, today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So that night, all these things happened that the Word of God had pierced my soul, my spirit, was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart, that I didn't feel hidden from the sight of God. I felt naked and open before God, to whom I must give account, all because of the Word of God. And how did it come to me that night? Netflix! God's people had been trying to witness to me and share with me all wonderful things and witnessing and testifying about the Word of God. But what I needed was someone to take the Word of God and thrust it into my heart by putting me to the Scriptures. God's people had done a faithful witness, but no one had actually opened it up and said, look, 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 what is God saying to you, Ali? And that night, October 23rd, 2010, God opened the Word of God to me, and he used Netflix to do it. He has a sense of humor, doesn't he? You know, Netflix is a pretty bad company. The number of things they're up to, I won't even list from this pulpit. I don't know all of it, but they've gotten themselves into trouble in this modern age because of the evil things they've been up to. Now, I won't be legalistic. If you have a Netflix account, I won't judge you for that. I'm trusting you watch the good things that are on there. That night, I got saved watching the Gospel of John, right? And the Lord used Netflix to do it. Now, prior to that, they had witnessed to me faithfully, and God used their witness. And I got to see the love the Christians had for one another. Jesus said, by this the world will know you're my disciples, in that you love one another. And there were moments where they would quote the Word of God to me. Those were helpful. And there were moments where in their nervousness, they would just square up and give me the gospel in a small bit. I remember the Christians in Omaha had invited me to a flag football game that the high schoolers in Omaha were doing. And back then, the homeschool community, that's a lot of the Christians are there, were involved in flag football. The kids were. And one of the brothers who was witnessing to me was a coach for one of those football teams. So they said, Ali, come to the football game. And so they invited me to the football game, and a lot of the Christians were there. And I remember standing on the sideline at the football game watching flag football. Said, I left New York City to come to Omaha to watch flag football. And coming onto the sideline to stand next to me was one of the elders of the church, right? Somebody like Neil or like Mike, one of the elders at the church came and stood next to me. This was in Omaha. And I remember he was nervous. Here I was, the Muslim boy that he had heard about, and he wanted to see me saved and receive forgiveness for my sins through Jesus Christ, by receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So he came and stood on the sideline of the football game, and he would look at me, and he would just make small talk, how are you, and maybe talked about the weather or something, I don't know, just small talk. And I remember thinking, I know what he wants to do. He wants to tell me about his Jesus. And I remember thinking, I wonder if he'll do it. He looks scared. He looks nervous. He'll turn to me, say something about something else, and then just wait. And I remember thinking, I wonder if he'll do it. And finally, he took a deep breath and he turned to me and he said, look, and he went into giving me the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And I remember thinking, good for you, right? Complimenting him in my mind. I was unsaved. He was saved and a church leader, right? Now, brothers and sisters, he shared the gospel. It was helpful, but I didn't get saved that day. Not until October 23rd, 2010, when I went and put on Netflix and the Word of God was put to my heart. Quick, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierced in the division of my soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It discerned the thoughts and intents of my heart. God's Word peered into my heart that night. Now, here's the thing. After I got saved, I would tell the Christians. I would call one of the Christians and I would tell him, I did it. In fact, it was a text message and he texted back, you did what? Right? And I told him I believed on Jesus. And he would call me and he'd say, what happened? And I said, well, I was watching this movie, The Gospel of John. And then I went through my Bible that I had and I went through Romans and I believed. And he said, well, that's wonderful. Jan had heard that story. Jan came up to me today and he said, Ali, I did it, right? Because he got saved too, right? And what did Jan do? What did I do? Put our faith in the Word of God, Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, right? Some of the Christians would hear Ali got saved and then they would wonder, well, who, how? Because Dan was witnessing, and the elder at the football game was witnessing, and this other person was witnessing. How did he finally get saved? And they would ask me, how did you get saved? Netflix. And I think the lesson for all of them was this. The Word of God is living and powerful. Even if Netflix is the delivering, right, agent, it doesn't remove the power of the Word of God. You know, I think Netflix, if they knew I got saved through the movie, they'd probably take that movie down, right? Don't tell them. Shh. Don't tell them, right? The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Now, here's what would happen is I would get saved, and as I shared with you, I would try to lead people to the Lord, and it wouldn't work. I would try everything. I would explain this. I would convince them of this. And sometimes they had things that needed convincing. And sometimes I was successful convincing them about those things. But they didn't get saved. Sometimes I was unsuccessful convincing them about those things. They still didn't get saved. Whether I convinced them or didn't convince them, they didn't get saved. Because I wasn't using the Word of God. You see, if their salvation depended on me convincing them, God help us, right? I can't save anybody, right? But if their salvation depends on the Word of God, then God has helped us. We just have to get the Word of God to them. And I have to say that one of the, if not the first person that I had the pleasure of leading to the Lord was a lady sitting here today. This beautiful lady who is now my wife. I was on the internet. A friend of mine had told me you should get on this dating website, right? Danger, danger. Watch out. And pretty quickly I met her and I was wondering, is she a Christian? Is she a Christian? And I would ask her one day, are you saved? And she'd say, I don't know. She was thinking in her mind, I live in a nice neighborhood. I feel safe. She was thinking, I'm safe. But I was asking, are you saved? Have you been saved from your sins? Right? That's what I was asking. And I would realize, she's not saved. Now, the Bible's clear that if you're a believer and someone's an unbeliever, there shouldn't be a romantic relationship. For what fellowship has light with darkness? And so I told her, I'm sorry, I won't date a girl who's not a Christian. That's not for me. Now, I didn't know this, but she liked me. I didn't know this. We men, we struggle to figure it out, right? And I didn't know this, but if a Russian girl likes a man, she'll hide it from him. It's a cultural thing. It's real. I'm not even kidding. I remember going on the internet and typing, how do you know if a Russian girl likes you? And then somebody, by the grace of God, had helped. Someone had written, if the girl is still talking to you, she likes you. Well, I remember thinking, well, I like her, but I need to stay away. The wrath of God abides on her. She's unforgiven for all her sins. And I'm forgiven. Once we die, if I were to marry her, she's going down and I'm going up. I don't want that. So I avoided her. But God got her to the Word of God. How did he do that? Well, she had to go stay in the hospital. When she went, it was very minor. She was okay. It was the Lord's way of getting God's word to her was that the hospital decided, even though your procedure is minor, we're going to keep you tonight. Or was it two nights? One night they kept her. One night they kept her and she was bored at the hospital. So she goes to the hospital library. There's a stack of books there, is a book stack, and she looks through the book stack. And she sees a tiny little black book. And she pulls it out. It's the Bible. She opens it up and she looks at it. And she looks at the table of contents in the beginning. And she finds a Old Testament, New Testament. And she thinks to herself, knowing nothing about the Bible, she thinks, well, old is old. I better start with the new. And she turns to the New Testament. How did God do that? Now, she could have got saved in the Old Testament too. There's key verses there that are very clear, right? Key verses, and it's, in fact, the entire Old Testament is testifying of Jesus. She could have got saved there, but it's easier to understand the New Testament if you don't have a teacher. And here she was in the hospital alone. So she started with the New Testament. She goes to Matthew, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And she begins to read. She reads about the genealogy of Jesus. She reads about the Christmas story. She gets a few chapters in before she decides, wow, I have a lot of questions. Well, I know that boy I met on the internet. He's a Bible expert. I'll ask him. Brothers and sisters, I was newly saved. So then here she writes me on the internet, says, do you have time to talk? And I'm thinking, I got to avoid this girl. She's too cute. I like her and she's unsaved. That's trouble for me. I'll get myself in trouble. And I remember she said, do you have time to talk? And I said, about what? And she goes, the stuff you were telling me. And I said, what was I telling you? It's not a good sign. You see, I wasn't opening the Word of God to her. I was witnessing to her. I should probably get some credit for that. All credit to God. But I wasn't opening the Word of God to her. She said, the stuff you were telling me about. And I, with my thick skull, took a minute to think, what was I telling her? Think, Ollie, what were you telling her? And I said, oh, the Bible. And she said, yes, I have questions about the Bible. Can you answer them? And I thought to myself, didn't take much thinking. Beautiful Eastern European girl, I have all the time in the world to answer your questions about the Bible. I told her, yes. And so began her questions. She took out a stack of papers, printer paper, which she had written in small handwriting questions about what she had read. You see, as she had read a few chapters in the hospital, the Word of God was living, powerful. It was sharper than any two-edged sword. It had pierced even to the division of her soul and spirit, and of her joints and marrow. And that word she had read was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of her heart. And that word had led her to have questions. She had questions in her heart. And so she said, "Can you answer my questions?" So I said, "Yes. Okay, I'll answer your questions." I said, "What are your questions?" And she goes, "What is this? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." As it was speaking of the Old Testament, Jesus was the promised son, the Messiah, the Savior, who would come through the bloodline of Abraham, just as he was promised hundreds and hundreds, a few thousand years ago. And I would answer her questions, and then I would say to her, "Look, your questions, I can tell, are all about Matthew. So why don't we just read Matthew? Because that's where all your questions are." What a genius idea. Here I was running around trying to convince everybody. The Lord helped me in that she had questions about a text. I said, "Why don't we look at the text?" So we said, "Okay." So she was on webcam in Russia. I was in webcam in Omaha, Nebraska. And I would sit there in front of the computer, pull up a Bible, and read to her. And then she would say, "Okay, hold on a minute. I have a question about that." And then she would ask a question. And I would think, let me think, and God would help me give an answer. But the main thing that was happening was the Word of God, which is living and powerful, was being put to her heart. And I remember she had so many questions, as it is piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. She had many questions. And so I would answer them. Sometimes I couldn't answer them. I didn't know the answer. I was newly saved. I can't tell you how many times I went to my bookshelf and grabbed the William MacDonald commentary the saints had gifted to me. Let me see if he says anything. So with the help of Brother William, we were answering her questions, right? And then eventually I remember that days turned into weeks answering her questions and reading to her in Matthew. I didn't hide from the Christians that I was talking to a beautiful girl in the former Soviet Union. They knew about her and they were praying for her. I said, "Look, I'm not dating her. I don't know what to do. She's got a lot of questions." They said, "Well, we'll pray for her, answer her questions, but guard your heart. Because she doesn't know the Lord." I said, "Yeah, I will." And so here's what happened is I would answer her questions, right? And so here's what would happen is I remember eventually thinking, this is going too slow. She's got a question about every single verse. And nobody gets saved in Matthew. I got saved in John. That other guy got saved in John. Everybody only gets saved in John. Mind you, I got saved in Romans. Didn't even remember it from my own testimony, apparently. And I was thinking, this part of the Word of God won't do its job. Boy, did I have learning ahead of me. And how many of you have gotten saved in something other than John? Raise your hand. Look at all these people got saved somewhere other than John, right? But I didn't know I was newly saved. I was thinking, we need to stop with these questions. We need to get her to John already. And it was going weeks and weeks in Matthew, question after question. Eventually I thought, we're not going to get to John for 50 years. God was trying to teach me a lesson. It doesn't matter if you're in Genesis, Revelation, or any book of the Bible in between. Any book of the Bible can save because the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. After about 8 months of doing this, and the Lord giving me a peace to continue to answer her questions while trying to guard my heart from this beautiful girl, and the elders at church being aware, and I had them, I'd put her on webcam and had them witness to her a little bit as well and talk to her, one of the elders especially. They were praying for her. After about 8-9 months of this, God giving me peace, one day I woke up. And I remember somehow I knew, I don't know how to explain it except perhaps by the Holy Spirit. One day I woke up and I realized, I don't think I'm supposed to witness to her anymore. Oh no, that must mean I have to tell her goodbye. Little did I know, I didn't have to witness to her anymore because she had gotten saved while I was asleep. How does God do that? Through the Word of God. How did she get saved? Well, I would later find out from her how she got saved. I would come to tears, her telling me that she got saved. In fact, I was really happy because I had called her to tell her goodbye. I said, I have to tell you something important. And she said, I have to tell you something important. And by the grace of God, I said, ladies first. Praise God for His restraint. There's more to the story, but I'm trying to shorten this story because I want to get more things in here. And I would tell her, you first. And she would tell me how she got saved. I would start to cry tears of joy. And she would say, I don't understand why you're crying. I thought you'd be happy about this. I said, I am happy about this. One day you'll understand while I'm crying today, right? And so, what was her testimony? How did she get saved? Well, I had taught her the Word of God. I had constantly answered her questions on the Word of God, but I had not done the most important thing, which is to put the Word of God to her heart by saying this, hey, I've explained this to you. Let me read it to you again. What is God saying to you here? That's the most important thing we can do, is put God's Word to their heart, to their soul and spirit, to their joints and their marrow. Put it to them like a sword and get out of God's way. What's God saying to you? And let them do business with God. I hadn't done that. All this time, God was trying to teach me. He took her to the hospital to get her in the Word of God, right? Because I was too thick-skulled to realize and remember how I got saved in the Word of God through Netflix, right? And so forth. So what happened is she said, well, I said, how did you get saved? How did this happen? She goes, I was walking on the sidewalk and I got saved. So if you think Netflix is weird, here's one walking on the sidewalk, right? I said, well, what were you doing? And she said, I was on my way to go shopping. Right? We shared this story with a gospel hall a few years ago, and one of the sisters at the gospel hall said, I've been telling you Christians, shopping is of the Lord. Another sister at the same gospel hall, knowing Veronica went shopping on the day of her salvation, said, a woman after my own heart. What happened? It wasn't about shopping. It was about the Word of God. As she was walking on the sidewalk, it was snowing, and God brought to her remembrance the verse, which I guess I had shared with her in Isaiah. I don't remember it. She doesn't remember. Well, both of us think perhaps we had gone to the book in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Perhaps we'd gone back to Isaiah. And as it snowed, she remembered, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. And she began to think about that as she walked in that snow in Russia. She said it was big, beautiful snowflakes falling. In some majestic way, it made her think of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicting her of sin, righteousness, and judgment. She thought, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. Isaiah is witnessing about the power of God through the Messiah who would come to save His people from their sins, Jesus. Isaiah was witnessing of Jesus, and other parts where Isaiah witnesses of that. So she begins to think, and by the grace of God, I had taken her already through Romans Road. Some of you say, what's Romans Road? Is that a street you walked with her on? No, Romans Road is a number of verses that take the word of God and put it to your heart in a very clear way. Romans Road. You ever want to know, where am I with God? Take and look at the scriptures of Romans Road. Apparently, I had taken her through Romans Road. God be praised. I don't even remember it. Right? And as she was walking in that snowfall, she made a decision. She thought to herself, think about the thoughts and intents of the heart. She thought, I'm too busy in my life. I have too many things going on. I need to take some things off of my plate and have more free time. What do I spend my time on? Bible study. I'm constantly asking these questions with that boy on the internet, and we spend a lot of time studying the Bible. Well, what if I make a decision right now? If I want to be a Christian or not? And I'll be done with Bible study. Shh. This is why nobody was there but the Lord. And how does he lead in a sense of humor that he has, right? She goes, if I make a decision today, then at least I'll be done with Bible study. I have a lot more free time. So I'm making a decision. And she remembered the final step in Romans Road. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And she came to cross the street at this point in the snowfall. It was still snowing, still snowing. As she comes to cross the street, it's a busy intersection. You shouldn't cross the street through the street here. It could be death. The Russians have made an underpass that goes into the ground. And she decides to stop at the steps of the underpass as she's thinking about this. And she makes a decision that would echo in eternity. She decides Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead. She believes in her heart. She takes the step as she says the word, descends into the earth, dies to self, no longer the sinner, comes out the other side, out of the darkness, and into the marvelous light of the Lord, a saint in the new creation. How did God do that? She didn't understand this illustration. In fact, we would only learn about this because I would keep bothering her. How does somebody get saved on a sidewalk? Tell me how you got saved. And she would give more detail every time. And one day it would click. The moment she got saved, God used it as a physical illustration of baptism. She went into it by faith. The water of baptism will save no one. You know, if someone betrayed you and came and told you, it doesn't matter how many times they take a shower, you're still angry with them. Water cannot wash away sins. But when she decided to believe Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, she had believed. Though her sins were as scarlet, they were washed white as snow. Why? Because Jesus bled and died. She was washed by the blood of Jesus. That's what had cleansed her. And so she came out the other side, into the light, a new creation, and told me she got saved walking on the sidewalk. And I was so confused as a new believer, right? Now, eventually, obviously, the Lord led. I went to Russia, visited her. We had her come back on a fiancé visa. We got married at the assembly in Omaha. At the time, that assembly was still there. Now, in time, and while she was in Russia, even before she came here, she would witness to her mom. her mom didn't want to hear it and would tell her, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I don't have faith. I don't have faith. I don't have faith. And she would try to witness to her mother. And I remember I would help her a little bit, but not very much help. It's mostly her witnessing to her mother. Once again, the two of us this time hadn't figured out you need to get the word of God to her mom and ask her, what is God saying to you? Right? Somehow the Lord got that to her on the sidewalk, the word of God, and she realized she needs to get saved. So what happened was, here's how her mom's story played out. We were driving around, doing ministry from assemblies to assemblies as we get invitations, and we spent a lot of time on the road. It's up to 30,000 miles a year, and the Lord delivers us from any kind of issue and travel mercies through your prayers. And we pull over in parking lots to eat or rest, and we pulled over this one day into a Chick-fil-A parking lot. Veronica was on the phone with her mother. She had it on speakerphone, and she was on the phone with her mom while we were in the car. And we pulled over. It was a very typical day for me. My wife is talking to her mom in Russia. They're talking in Russian. I have no idea what they're saying. At this point, I'm used to it. And I just let them talk. Talk. Sometimes they'll talk for hours, right? And I have to be understanding. I've taken her away from her mom. I need to give them hours to talk instead, at least, right? So I'm just patient. And I remember as this conversation went on, and I'm sitting there in the passenger side of the vehicle, the car is kind of parked, it's idling, I realized I'm supposed to do something, but I didn't know what it was. And I knew it was about her mom, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I knew Veronica had been witnessing. I didn't know what to do. Well, how about the Word of God, right? How about the Word of God? Well, I still didn't realize it. And I said to her, tell your mother I want to talk to her, but not now, just before you get off. And she goes, oh, well, we were just about to say goodbye. It was the Lord's timing. And she goes, what is it you want to say? I'll translate. And I didn't know what to say. It was around Christmas time. So I said, does your mom know the Christmas story? And she asked her mom in Russian, do you know the Christmas story? And her mom said, no. Now, her mom had grown up in the Russian Orthodox Church. It's a miracle she didn't say, yes, I already know that. She said, no. And then I said, ask her, do you want to hear the Christmas story? So her mom said, yes. And I thought, okay, Luke or Matthew, Matthew or Luke, which one am I going to go to? And I opened my mouth and we were in Genesis. Now, you know I'm long-winded. We were in Genesis. But somehow the Lord led by His grace and through your prayers and for her sake, we quickly went from Genesis to Revelation in 10 minutes with the Christmas story in there. And you could tell the Spirit was leading. And then it ended and she was silent. Veronica translating this whole time. And yet for all that, she was still unsaved. I didn't know what to do next. That's how thick-skulled I am. Open the Word of God to her. I didn't know what to do, so I said, ask your mom, do you want to be a part of this story, this Christmas story? And her mom said, yes. And then I figured it out. Let me get the Bible out. And we got the Bible out. We went to Romans 3, 6, 5, 10, Romans Road. And then we said to her, do you want to be saved? This is how you get saved. Profess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart. God has raised Him from the dead. And you will be saved. We put the Word of God to her. And then we were silent. The next thing we heard I heard in Russian as her mom said, "Christ is Lord." And I said, "Ask your mom, did you just believe on Jesus? Did you just get saved?" She asked her mom, and her mom, her voice breaking and tearing up, said, "Yes." She got saved that day. As we were on the phone with her in Russia, us, I don't even know what state we were in a Chick-fil-A parking lot. It doesn't matter if it's Netflix. It doesn't matter if it's walking on the sidewalk about to cross the street. It doesn't matter if you're in a Chick-fil-A parking lot. There's only one way to be saved. The Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The night I got saved, I did business with God in my heart, with my soul and spirit, through the Word of God. It's the only way to do business. I can't even divide my soul and spirit. I can't even tell you the difference between the two. But God can, and He can do business with both and save your soul and your spirit for all eternity. The day she got saved, walking on the sidewalk, I don't even think she even knew soul and spirit are distinctly different in Scripture and yet in some ways used sometimes interchangeably. It's almost like God wants us to know, you can't figure this one out. She didn't even know this mystery. I don't think I knew. Though she thought I was a Bible expert. But on the sidewalk, God did business with her soul and with her spirit, by bringing to her heart the remembrance of the Word of God she had heard. And on the early evening that Veronica's mother got saved, Yelena, her salvation, we put to her heart the Word of God. And she responded, "Jesus is Lord," and was saved. You guys, I've been asked to pray for her, and we still would like your prayers for her. Sometimes she won't go to church, and it annoys us. Sometimes she'll go to church for a 1 year straight, missing nothing, and it amazes us. But she's a child of God. How do I know this? We had opportunity to visit with her and disciple her for 6 weeks. It was about 3 years ago. We met her in a neutral country. The Russian and Ukraine war had already started. I, as an American citizen, couldn't go to Russia. She, as a Russian, would have difficulty coming here. And she hadn't seen her daughter for 6 years. By God's grace, we found a neutral country and we met there for 6 weeks. And I would disciple her. And she would say, "Why do we have to do this?" Right? This is vacation. Only my son-in-law wants to look at God's Word on vacation and wants to go to church on vacation, right? And we knew she needed discipleship. She had gotten saved through the Word of God, and she needed milk, as babies do, from the Word of God. But what amazed me about this was as I would expound to her the Scriptures, the Word of God, and we would have a quiet devotion some of those mornings with Veronica, myself, and her, and I would read the passage in English. Veronica would translate into Russian, and she had a Russian text in front of her too. Her mom did. And Veronica would translate as my reading of the Word, preaching it, and Veronica translating. Veronica's mom would just listen silently, sometimes begrudgingly. She just wanted to go out and play, right? Sometimes I felt like I had a teenager, right? But never mind that. There were moments where I would tell her, "Yelena, do you understand what we've been discussing?" And she would say, "Yes." And I would say, "Can you explain it to me?" And she would explain it as though she was a preacher herself, demonstrating a deep understanding for the Word of God. How? Because she got it into her heart. It transformed her. She's now a child of God. And when she hears the Word of God, she cannot help but both hear, listen, and understand. And even able to teach back to me as I ask her, what does it mean? I was amazed at her answers. She would give applications that I hadn't given. I said, man, she knows. The Word of God. Living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And God, forgive me, sometimes I pick on my mother-in-law, right? I'm sure no man has ever done that. And I have to say, she loves me, and I actually really love her. And I like her, too. I don't just love her, I like her. I actually appreciate and like her. It says there is no creature hidden from his sight. Yelena's really good at finding sinners and putting the Word of God to them. She went into the countryside in Russia, visiting her sisters and their husband, each of their husbands, and also her nieces and nephews, grandchildren kind of thing. And she would put the Word of God to them. They would tell her, but we're Russian Orthodox, you know, we believe this and that. And she would say, that's not going to save you. And she would preach the words of life. It didn't take long before one of her sisters professed to be saved. And that very day or the next day, a niece came home, and there was Yelena and her sister that she had led to the Lord. The niece came home, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. And the niece was naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account, as they put to her the Word of God, and she professed. It seems she may have got saved. Amen. The Word of God goes from house to house, from street to street, from place to place. Jesus Christ in written form is the only way to be saved. If you're here today and you know the Lord, you know what you have to do. Take this word to the farthest ends of the earth. And Myrtle Beach is a great place to start. And if you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, well, you have all of us here today. And above all, you have the Word of God here today in the hands of many teachers in this room. Don't leave here before you make sure that we open the Word of God to you and you make sure you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Word of which John witnessed. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. His name is Jesus. This is His Word, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. You could leave here today and say no thank you, but you are still, wherever you go, you are naked, and you are open to the eyes of him to whom you must give account for all your sins. So why not get saved today and be a child of God in Jesus' name? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. It transforms lives. It has transformed my life. It has transformed my wife's life. It has transformed her mother, my mother-in-law's life. It has transformed the lives of every person sitting here. Father, you know that not a single person sitting here was born a Christian. Every single one had to be born again by believing in Jesus, the Word of God, to be saved. We pray we would be faithful witnesses for us who have believed, and we pray that those who haven't would believe today and be saved by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.